Nintendo is failing on mobile, right? I mean, their game Fire Emblem Heroes has just made $1 billion, but there are over 40 mobile games that have made at least $1 billion in revenue, and Tencent owns 8 of them, and Nintendo only owns one of them. So why has it taken Nintendo, an absolute powerhouse in the console gaming space, so long to really truly break through on mobile and get into that top 40 of popular mobile games? And with a mobile version of Mario Kart and Animal Crossing, why is it that Fire Emblem Heroes is the only Nintendo IP to save the company from being irrelevant in the mobile space when they have so many other big IPs in their catalog? Today, in this new and improved version 2.0 of the podcast, we're going to talk about exactly that, why Nintendo is failing, how they're hanging on, and maybe if they should just give up already. So, Tiny, what are the details of this whole Nintendo debacle? Like, how are they actually doing on mobile with their mobile games?
Okay, so a few years ago, when Nintendo announced that they're going to start getting into the mobile gaming space, everyone was super excited for this. Mm-hmm. And like you said previously, it didn't kind of hit, you know, that excitement hit a high level, but they aren't making the money they're expecting to make. So here's the details. Fire Emblem Heroes has hit $1 billion in player spending. That sounds amazing, yay, right? Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Congrats.
Yeah, how cool. However, you have these other IPs from Nintendo that aren't really doing well when compared to other games. So, for example, Mario Kart and Animal Crossing, they've hit a combined spending of $282 million. I mean, that's not that much when you combine those two. Then you
And it's also only 25%, or I guess 28%. Of what Fire Emblem did.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you're comparing two games to one game.
Yeah. You're taking two games, two very popular IPs, you know, one sector, not even reaching close to that
mark. I mean, Mario Kart, right? I mean, that's, when I think about Nintendo, that is one of the first three games or five games I think about.
That's a huge income for them. Just their normal Mario Kart, right? The actual traditional ones on console. And then you have, what is it, Dragalia Lost was another Nintendo property that they released on mobile. That was actually shut down, I want to say, a couple years ago. That only earned about $168 million in player spending. And then check this out. Oh, this is the big one. Mario Run. Remember when Mario Run came out? Everyone was super excited about Mario Run. They're like, oh my gosh. And I believe that was a premium game. It was like free to try. And then you had to pay, I want to say $4.99 to like unlock the full game. That only made $87 million. And I know I'm saying only like $1 million. Oh, $87 million. That's a lot. But that's a very small figure in the grand scheme of things. Oh, then you have another Mario property, Dr. Mario, which was that puzzle Mario game, which was really fun to play, actually. I liked it. That came in with a measly $14 million. So that's insane. All of those combined games I just talked about still made less than Fire Emblem Heroes. Now, Nintendo cannot be happy about that. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way. And I mean, Dr. Mario, $14 million US dollars. That has got to be less than the development cost and the marketing and ad spend for that game.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they probably straight up lost money on that one. And one of one of Tencent's games even earned $12 billion. Just to put this into perspective. So with Fire Emblem Heroes hitting $1 billion, they are getting into that big boys league, right?
But the major leagues.
The major league, but it's still very far to the top of that at $12 billion. So what is it about Nintendo games that they don't really flourish outside of their Nintendo consoles? Because, you know, the Nintendo Switch is doing well.
Yeah.
The games that launch on Nintendo Switch seem to be doing well. At least that's all I'm hearing about, right? So how can they do so well on console and on mobile they just fail? Do you have any idea? Any guesses?
I mean, when Nintendo first announced that they were coming into the mobile market, I had this tingling feeling that something like this would happen. And for some reason, I just think it comes down to this. You have two different types of players. You have those who play on console and are used to or expect a certain quality game from a console game, a game they pay $60-$70 for USD. They expect something from that game. Now, when you have a game that's released on a mobile device, you're of course expecting something completely different as well. So you take these existing IPs, these very popular IPs, now you have to create a totally different gameplay mechanics. You also have to create some sort of monetization in them if they're not going to be premium. And maybe just a lot of the Nintendo fan base weren't really, they weren't satisfied with that. They might have been attracted initially. I'm sure their download count are high. I'm sure if we go get into the nitty gritty, their download counts are probably super high. But how long did those players stay? How much money did those players spend? And it really just probably comes down to, you know, the different types of players. When I sit down and play my console, I know what I'm expecting. I know what I'm getting. When I sit down and play on my mobile phone, I know exactly what I'm getting there as well. But did Nintendo do a great job of differentiating those two? That honestly, they should have just focused on premium, making these games more premium, maybe premium games
I pay
$9.99 for or something like that.
I do think you're onto something there, actually, because if we look at those numbers again, Mario Kart is one of the games that is most like the console counterpart.
That's true.
Like, it's
very
most
true.
Like the console version, and that seems to be one of the games that has done the best.
One of the single games.
One of the single games. I mean, obviously, Fire Emblem Heroes is the one that hit $1 billion. But still, in comparison to Dragalia Lost, to Mario Run, to Dr. Mario, Mario Kart is somewhat close to the console version. And so maybe that is why that one is actually doing better. Whereas, you know, we also have to remember that Nintendo, not that long ago, they said that they don't want to do mobile at all. They said this. I mean, true. I remember reading these headlines and being very, very sad. They said that they were not going to do mobile. They were going to keep their games strictly on Nintendo-owned consoles. And I guess it was because they were afraid of losing out to mobile devices. Like, they would not be able to sell their own hardware anymore if they actually made Nintendo games, the full games, the Nintendo console games, as they were, but just ported them to mobile. I think that was their fear. Then at some point that changed, and they said, we are going to do mobile. Yeah. Hold on.
Right? They should have went with their gut.
yeah, they probably should. Mobile now makes up more than, I think, 60% of the total games industry revenue. And they were like, hey, listen, we can't lose out on all of that money, right? So they did that, but maybe they did it with the wrong intentions, or they approached it in a wrong way, I guess, Nintendo. And it was an uphill battle for them, right?
Yeah.
Because as you said, console players expected one thing, the mobile version was something else. And it didn't really stick with the mobile-only audience, and it didn't really stick with the existing Nintendo console players either.
Yeah.
Nobody was happy.
It probably goes to show that they were probably banking on the IPs and the characters, right? They're banking on Mario. They're banking on, what is it, Animal Crossing, cute little furry characters. Banking on that, whereas maybe the focus on gameplay would have been more. Maybe it went by the wayside. I've played most of these games, and if I'm going to be 100% honest, they are decent games. They are decent counterparts to the actual real game. Like, they try to hit some of those gameplay scenarios, some of those mechanics.
Yep.
Like, they do a fair job of that. And I want to at least compliment them for that, right? Because that's a hard thing to do when you're taking, you know, gameplay mechanics from console, porting it down to a mobile version, keeping in mind monetization. So, I mean, they did a decent job of that, but I guess it just wasn't enough to stick.
Yeah, but that's important as well. You know, the gameplay being fun is not the same as revenue. I mean, we're only looking at revenue numbers here. Obviously, we're looking at it from the company perspective, like from the perspective of these game developers, game publishers, and game companies. But the gameplay could be great, and they still don't earn a lot. So I guess from that perspective, maybe they actually did us a favor. Maybe they made games that are just less heavily monetized, and that's why we're seeing this. But it does come at the disadvantage that maybe Nintendo is pulling a bit away. I don't know if they are, but maybe they're sort of changing their strategies. Maybe they're going to release less games because they're simply not making as much money as they hoped for.
I mean, it's been quiet on their front. I haven't heard no new announcements or anything.
But it does pose an interesting question. Like, do existing IPs, not just Nintendo, but do existing IPs simply not do as well on mobile? Because many of the best earning games are new IPs. If we look at the top 10 best earning mobile games, six out of 10, were original or new IPs that did not exist already, which is, I guess, kind of surprising considering that most companies seem to love franchises these days. I mean, movie studios keep pumping Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah, sequels, right? Like Marvel movies, they just keep pumping and pumping and pumping, right? Because they know they'll do well. So why are 6 out of the 10 biggest mobile games actually new IPs? And of the 4 other games in the top 10, so the 4 that are based on existing IPs, most of them were based on existing IPs, but not big IPs.
Yes.
So this could be Fate Grand Order, for example, which is significantly larger on mobile, I think at least, than the existing IP. Or maybe I'm just unaware of the existing IP, but I had to look up these on Google and Wikipedia, but most of them are not. I mean, you're not seeing Harry Potter.
Exactly.
You're not seeing Lord of the Rings. Yes. You're not seeing Mario in
you're
this
not seeing
top
The
10.
Witcher. You're not, you know.
You're not seeing
these
The Witcher.
Other big name IPs that bring themselves over to mobile because they know there's a market for that, and they know that there's money there. They know there's money in mobile, and we've known this for years at this point. I mean, these numbers keep getting bigger and bigger every time we're talking about mobile games and how much they make, how much they bring in. So of course these companies with these existing IPs, like, they want to bank on that, but it's coming at a cost. I feel like they're not bringing in as much as they want. So I predict we're going to see a pull away from this, from not just from Nintendo, but from Ubisoft, from EA, like, because they've all kind of, you know, brought IPs over, and they've all, majority of them did not do well, if not failed. So I don't know. I think we're going to start seeing them pull back away from this.
If you had to guess then, what would the next $1 billion Nintendo game be on mobile? Let's say they're going to have another really big hit.
Yeah.
What would it be? What would they have to bring to mobile to earn $1 billion for another game? I mean, I can start. So I think an actual 3D Mario game on mobile with co-op multiplayer.
Wow.
Like Super Mario 3D, for
You're
example,
asking
for the Nintendo
for a lot.
Switch. Yeah, but I feel like that could actually work. I mean, we have Genshin Impact.
Yeah,
we
that's
have
true.
These big open world 3D games, MMORPGs. I mean, these games do well on mobile. They actually work. You can get the controls right.
Yes, you can.
And if you then also support, you know, controllers, Bluetooth controllers, then that's just an added benefit. But I feel like the important part is here is that it would have to be a 3D Mario game. It would have to have some co-op multiplayer. I feel like that's very important. I would want it to have, you know, PvE or like these objective based, like you're trying to get somewhere and collect everything, and you'd have to be able to experience that with your friends.
Yeah.
Online co-op, right? Not same device or local area, but online
with
co-op.
With those awesome, like, Mario graphics, like you said, that awesome, that good control scheme, you know, make it look like an actual Mario game, 3D Super Mario World, mobile world, or something like that. It just sounds cool.
I would love for that to exist, but the pessimist inside of me tells me that they're probably not going to do that because they want people to buy the Nintendo Switch to get that experience.
Yep.
But I do think that is one of their chances of earning $1 billion. Is there another, like, do you have one in mind?
I mean, the one I have in mind that I think everyone else is probably starting to ponder and think about, it's been asked about for years. Can we get a freaking Zelda game on mobile? Like a actual Zelda game.
Yes.
I mean, the possibilities are endless. You could do a 3D Zelda game. You could do a side-scrolling type Zelda game. You could do the old school top-down Zelda type game. I think Link's Awakening came out on the Switch a couple years ago where it was like a 3D old school top-down traditional Zelda game. Imagine that on a mobile device. The controls are there. The graphics are perfect for that style because it doesn't have to be super over-the-top graphics. It could be colorful Zelda adventure in the palm of your hands. Make it a premium game. I'll pay $9.99. Heck, I'll pay $20 for an actual premium Zelda game, like, on my phone. It would just be so good. I mean, that would be the billion-dollar IP that I think that would just take Nintendo, would skyrocket Nintendo. But it goes back to, like, what you just said, another experience that they want you to buy the Switch or the next Switch for in order to, like, get that actual experience. And I get it. I get why Nintendo makes those type of decisions, but at least give us something Zelda-ish. I mean, maybe you do like a, what if it's a, what is it? The arrow game that you always talk about. Not Arrowverse. You shoot the arrows. Archero. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Like, what if they do something like that with Zelda? Because Zelda does have does shoot bows and arrows.
That is true. They could make a version of that.
They could. I mean, sure, it's a complete copy-paste rip-off, but whatever. We see a lot of those anyway.
But even if it had to be... Yeah, but if it had to be a premium game, the Zelda game, even at $10... To earn $1 billion, you'd need to sell 100 million copies.
That's true.
Which
I didn't do the math in my head.
for a premium game. So I think it almost has to be a free-to-play game if the premise is that it has to earn $1 billion. But we could have a free-to-play Zelda game, focus on the monetization of cosmetics, something like that would be
great.
Just don't do it too heavy. So let us know what sort of, like, have you played Nintendo games? What Nintendo IP would make you want to play Nintendo games on mobile? Let us know in the comments down below, and let's have a conversation about that. And with that said, thank you very much for watching and listening to the audio-only version, if that is what you're listening to right now. Go check out some of the previous episodes. We already recorded 2 other episodes of this version 2.0 of the podcast, and we have 18 other episodes of the old podcast format in case you missed them. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you guys again in the next one. Bye!
See you later, alligator!